This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hoof, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Monologue may be rated PG-13. I'm sure you've had an argument before, the small version, the type that arises out of nowhere but seems to hang around and stink up the room like a fart in the car. In the end, it just seems so silly, but at the time, it is so frustrating. They say that, and you hear this, and you say this, and they hear that. Is earwax causing me this problem? Will more regular use of my Q-tips prevent this in the future? But arguments are part of relationships, right? We don't have many, but they do pop up on occasion. Usually I'm either expressing or learning something new. The expectation of one response being plowed over by something else can really throw me off, and that seems to work both ways for all relationships. Usually, though, it's just me being an ass, although I think that probably works both ways for everyone, too. I have my modus operandi for most arguments. I get snappy, then try and have a quick resolution. If and when that doesn't work, I just sit quietly, roll my eyes, and pout. That method works well, so I've been using the same technique since I was 2. The hard part isn't the argument, the hard part is making up. With small arguments, I don't get the make-up sex that follows the major fight. Don't get me wrong, I'd rather avoid all fights, especially the major ones, but if I have to feel the queasiness, the nervousness from any size argument, then please let me have the pleasure. It comes from both people wanting to make sure the other understands the sincerity of the apology. The little arguments just seem to slowly fade away, sometimes painfully, like small cuts across the fingertips. And therein lays the problem. The apology. What do you say or do when you feel right and wrong at the same time? Who speaks first? I used to have a roommate whose unforgettable line was, "I'll apologize, but I'm not sorry." Sometimes I have to work so hard at being more of an adult than that, apologizing because I caused hurt and I can see it, acted stupid and I know it, failed to recognize the other side, which always exists. There are all these people who tell us to learn from our mistakes and grow from our conflicts. They make it sound as though I cannot become a better person unless I have these issues in my life. Well, I don't want to sometimes disagree on where to eat dinner just so I can mature emotionally. But I have decided that taking a moment to explain my thoughts and ask about hers doesn't really hurt. And if you are sincere in doing so, the make-up sex can follow even the small disagreements. And that usually makes me roll my eyes too, but in the really good way. All right, you can let your kids back in now. Anyway, here we are on the 20th. First really good snowstorm of the winter, at least the one that hung around for at least a couple days. We're going to be talking about real estate and its effect on our economy and the upcoming 2008. Matt Hodges, a mortgage broker from Compass Home Loans. Jim Duncan, a realtor from Century 21 and Manly Associates. Both gentlemen have been here before. Guys, how are you?
I'm bueno.
Doing great.
That's always nice to know. It's good to have happy, prepared, constructive guests in the studio. Does any of those adjectives apply to you two?
I wish.
More to Matt.
All right. So again, Jim Duncan, Matt Hodges here as we talk about real estate. The goal really, I saw a really good article from someone in the Daily Progress. I want to say it was last Sunday, but it's certainly been within the last week to 10 days, where the woman writing the article had interviewed four folks in our area. It's not a realtor. What's the proper term that I want, Jim? A home contractor.
Builder.
Home builder. Mm-hmm. A gentleman involved in the medical industry.
The guy from Michael Harvey with Thomas Jefferson Partnership.
Right, more of a government issue, and then someone who's more of a think tank guy.
There's a personnel officer also.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a very interesting article, and it made me think, gosh, I should do something similar here. And so, as always, the strong supporters of the wake-up call here today to talk real estate, because I think that that's become such a major part of our economy here in the Charlottesville area. Let me take a moment, and one of the reasons these guys are here today, we want to thank Five Guys Burgers and Fries for allowing the wake-up call to be on air. Five Guys serves America's standard, fresh and handmade from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and they're open until 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. That's Five Guys Burgers and Fries behind the fountain in the Barracks Road Shopping Center. They are in the Hollymead Town Center and on the Downtown Mall here in Charlottesville. On the web, it's fiveguys.com, fiveguys.com.
When do they deliver to our studios?
My guess is that they will be delivering. We finish at noon.
Les
Temps guys will receive the delivery. All right. Let's just jump right into the topic again. Real estate and the local economy here in 2008. Big question nationally. Is there a recession coming? So let's talk about that locally and from the viewpoint of the two of you.
Well,
is that something we need to worry about?
I think we always have to be worried about a recession. And I think that the national indicators are showing that we either are in one or one may be right around the corner. So it's something that we should all certainly be concerned about.
Yeah, that being said, there's been warnings over the last 5 years that recession is coming. In my mind, it has not hit yet. But the signals are that it will occur sometime in 2008. My thought is, and a lot of the pundits are saying, that it's going to be a very mild one.
How does this affect each side that you have of the industry? Because if the recession is coming, Jim, does that mean you sell fewer homes and therefore it affects your how easily you can pay your electric bill? Matt, does that mean that you do fewer mortgages or that you do the same number but you do them in a different manner? Explain that to me a little bit.
Well, I think Matt's, I won't speak for him, but I think he's in a different situation because he's more diversified than I am. I mean, I'm 100% commission, so if I don't sell something, I don't eat. So it does affect me. That being said, the focus has to be always on providing the right service for and the right expertise and right advice for the clients. And it's something that I think we're going to look at some fear, unfortunately, throughout the industry and throughout the economy, that looking beyond the headlines is going to lead into some real insight as to where we stand in today's economy.
I think it's important to realize that just like there's no average temperature for the United States, as a recession may hit the entire United States, it affects us here locally differently. We have, as you're well aware, a very strong base here. You've got employers that are either steady or growing. You've got the university as a base. So remember that what happens in the United States does not have the same direct effects as it does here in Charlottesville.
You know, the article that I mentioned from the Daily Progress, Matt, you've got your computer in front of you. Do you have the I want to give credit to the
Jim,
woman who wrote that.
Tasha Cates. Daily Progress.
Almost everyone who she interviewed, and there I think it said that they had edited replies, but everyone who did reply to her questions mentioned the university being the strong base of our economy, and therefore we are not likely to, you know, drop and suffer as much as others throughout the country might if and when the recession hits.
Well, that's true. I mean, the university is the foundation for a lot of our economy. I mean, there was a story a couple weeks ago saying how they were going to spend, I'm looking at it now, $4.4 billion is also what the impact that the high-tech industry had, and the university is a big component of that. So they do provide some solidifying foundation for where we go from here. But, you know, it touches everybody in different ways.
But can't the university suffer to a much greater extent than I feel is being discussed? I mean, if the university is made up of, and I don't even know anymore, 20,000 students from undergraduate to grad schools, and a majority of them come from families, and those families don't live in this area where the university is helping to support their financial base income, you know, can't you, okay, I can send my kid there, but my kid has to have a job. I can't come visit as regularly as I would like and spend money in the hotels and the restaurants. My child has less spending money on a monthly basis that I can give them to order Domino's pizzas. Or, you know, hang out on the corner at the various places. By the way, I went to Carmelo's restaurant on Friday night. That was rocking. They need to start underwriting on this station. but can't those things, I mean, it almost seems like people, what I've read and what people are saying is that the university is, you know, it is Gibraltar, and it is not going to allow us to dip but so much. And I feel like that people are not noticing or not acknowledging the fact that the huge part of the university are people coming from outside and bringing whatever problem they may have elsewhere into our community.
Well, I would tend to disagree there. If you look at UVA, you have arguably the number one ranked public university in the country and the world.
I think we got five this year.
Okay. But you're always going to be in the top five with UVA. What you have is a generally a very affluent student that's coming here. I see, and I have seen over the last 2 years, where parents have actually invested more in our community here. They've purchased condominiums or townhouses for their kids, one, to live in while the student is here, two, to lease out rooms to roommates, and three, to hold as a long-term investment. So I think that UVA is doing the right things with continuing to invest in research, continuing to expand. I think UVA, unless I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid here, is a tremendous anchor for our area. But don't forget, go past UVA, look at State Farm. They're bringing people in left and right. SNL is a wonderful anchor here. NGIC is going to be adding 1,000 jobs in the next 3 years. Crutchfield, Northrop Grumman. Look at all the small high techs that have now infiltrated, and that's a good word, here in Charlottesville.
No, I agree. I mean, I think that university has a far-reaching impact on our economy, and I think NGIC is one that we really can't minimize their impact, because not only are they going to be bringing in the jobs, which generally are going to be higher paying, you bring in one person, they're going to have an accompanying spouse, more likely. Unfortunately, you know, in some cases, they're going to have two or three kids, which are going to add to the school system. But they're also going to be bringing in the ancillary jobs along with it, more service-based jobs that are going to support those people there, as well as the construction, which, you know, which NGSE is going to be doing. So it's not just a, you know, UVA is the end-all, be-all for our economy. They are a tremendous anchor. But we have a lot of positives in the local Charlottesville, Central Virginia economy that are really do support what we have here.
11:15 here on the Wake Up Call. Jim Duncan, Matt Hodges. Jim, a realtor. Matt, a mortgage broker here in the Charlottesville area. Dial us up if you have a question of your own. 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN Rocks is the toll-free line. Graham's out there today to hook you up. If you want to come on air with us, you can just leave your question with Graham if you want to sit back and listen. We are talking about real estate and the local area economy in 2008. We're talking about the university, and Jim, you mentioned one person, couples or families moving in, and the service jobs that go along with that. But we're already in an economy here in this area where we can't fill all the service jobs that we have. And if we put the strain of a need for more service jobs on the area, does that not cause there to be, you know, sort of the flaw? We find that metal flaw in the bridge?
I don't know. I mean, I think that there's always going to be a need for, you know, as we grow, we're seeing a real segmentation of our geography, whereby people who live and work in around NGIC, for example, stay with that. Now, they are not going to go beyond the Hollymead Town Center for much of what they need. And you're seeing how that is giving rise to more growth industries there. Now, there's going to be a dry cleaner there. There could be more restaurants. There could be more need-based service, well, by our definition of need. So it's, you're seeing where there are more service level jobs and service economies, but people are traveling shorter distances to get to them. So I see where you're going with that, but I think that also, you know, there is, you know, real growth in our area that the needs are rising to meet them.
Matt?
Yeah, Rick, if you're discussing it, the inability to fill some of these service sector jobs, then you're also talking about the underemployment that exists within the service sector and within our local economy. Our unemployment rate is something around 2%, which is fantastic for the state, and for the nation it's incredible. A lot of that is based on the fact that you've got trailing spouses coming to med school, to law school, to Darden, and they're filling jobs that they're qualified to do so much more, but their spouse is only here for 2 or 3 or 4 years, and it fills a need. Regarding the service sector, it is so important. If you look at an area like Barracks Road, and you look at a store like Talbot's, for example, from what I understand, I don't know where they are right now, but several years ago, they were ranked as one of the top performing retail locations within the country. Now, a lot of that, of course, goes back to corporate, but so much of it stays here locally in jobs, in rents back to the landlord, in B-poll taxes. So much is reinvested into our economy because of our service.
All right, 11:19 here on the Wake Up Call. Jim Duncan, Matt Hodges here in the studio today. Feel free to call us up if you have a question or a comment about the real estate market for 2008. The markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley, sunny and windy today. Highs 25 to 30. Clear and cold tonight. Lows 10 to 15. Sunny tomorrow. Highs 30 to 35. Right now, it's very windy in the valley. Clear everywhere, 19 in the valley, 20 in Lynchburg, 25 in Richmond, 20 in Charlottesville. Almost everyone with the wind chill in the single digits.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And today's program, and also you brought to you by Copacabana, Brazilian International Cuisine Restaurant, serving lunch and dinner every day and available for special party needs. Along with Brazilian entrees, Copacabana serves banana flan and passion fruit mousse. Gift certificates are available at the Copacabana Brazilian International Cuisine Restaurant in Shoppers World, 29 North in Charlottesville. And we want to remind you that adult and youth program registration for students and members of UVA Intramural Recreational Sports begins at sign-up on Tuesday from 5:30 until 7 p.m. at the Aquatic and Fitness Center Gym. You can register for adult and youth recreation instruction, outdoor recreation, and fitness programs, or from 8 to 9, you can register for intramural sports leagues and tournaments. Open registration will begin on Wednesday at the Aquatic and Fitness Center business office. Online info and registration forms are available at virginia.edu/IMS, or you can call the studio line here at NRN after this program is over. All right, somebody's on the line out there. In the meantime, Jim Duncan, Realtor, Century 21, Manley Associates, Matt Hodges, mortgage broker, Compass Home Loans. Guys, simple question. Do we or do we not have a housing surplus in this area?
An easy one. I think that there are, that we are striving to find a balance in the market. Right now there are significantly more homes on the market than we've seen in quite some time. Anything, I think, over 5 to 6 months of inventory is beyond that threshold. You're looking at a buyer's market, and we have about 18 months of inventory throughout Central Virginia. So,
dude, that's not a little. That's triple.
Triple-ish, yes. No, I mean, there's a lot of stuff on the market, but I think that when you get down to it from a nuts and bolts, if you're a buyer looking in the market, there's not that much that is as desirable as people are looking for. And what we're also seeing is that a lot of people are testing the market to see whether they can sell or not. One thing I said last year in one of the stories I wrote, we are going to see fewer and fewer people who are moving for discretionary purposes. And we are seeing that. I mean, Charlottesville area is traditionally has been a transient market where people are able to come in and buy and sell 2 to 3 years and trade up or move on. And we're seeing right now, and it's still too early to predict, we're seeing less of that. I think we're seeing a return to people who are buying. And I refer to my mother, who's been a realtor for 20-some odd years, and that's where I grew up, is people are buying homes, living in them for 3 to 5 years, and then when they sell and they don't lose money, then they've done well. And we're seeing people who are focusing more on the intrinsic value of homes beyond the investments as a secondary thing.
Hey, caller, hang on 1 second. Quick follow-up to that, Jim. Are there so many homes on the market because people are trying to make a lot of money because on what they heard from 2 years ago?
I think
a little greediness out there?
I think that people have, in some cases, have not yet reached the reality of today's market, that they need to actually do a cogent statistical analysis to say what their house might be worth, rather than saying, well, that guy sold his house for X, I can add 10% to it and get that.
All right. I like it when you use big words like that. All right, we got James from Lexington. Hey, James.
Hello.
Are you calling? Are you listening to 95.9?
Yes, I'm listening to you. 95.9, I think.
Excellent. All right. File away with your question.
I travel to Charlottesville every now and then, and I've observed by reading mainly the Stanton paper, it seems like some people are moving to Waynesboro or Stanton, but who work in Charlottesville because the housing is cheaper in Waynesboro and Stanton. Not too many people down here where I live, Lexington, Buena Vista, commute a little farther, but I was wondering if your host had any comments about that. It seems to me, generally, housing is more expensive in Charlottesville. And so some people can't afford to live there, particularly maybe your service workers that you were talking about a few questions ago.
All right, I'm going to let the guys answer away. Thanks for calling.
Oh, you're welcome.
James, yes, absolutely. People are looking at Waynesboro, Augusta County as a sort of a second. It's become more of a secondary market of the Charlottesville area. The numbers of people who are commuting from Waynesboro, Augusta County to Charlottesville, Albemarle has grown every single year. Right now, looking at some numbers, it looks like about 3,800 people commute outside of from Waynesboro to other areas, and about 500 of them go to Charlottesville, and 1,500 of them go to Albemarle County. So you're seeing more and more of that. One of the things to back up on the housing cost, housing generally is the same. The difference you're seeing is the land cost. Albemarle and Charlottesville have significantly higher land costs than you have in Waynesboro, Augusta County right now. The reason people look there is really from an affordability standpoint, but you also has to look at it from a wider scope. And one thing I do for my clients who are looking, you know, to go beyond, you know, to Fluvanna, Louisa, Waynesboro, et cetera, is do a gas price analysis. Because if you're looking at $3 a gallon, you're doing an extra 20, 25, 30 miles a day, that adds up to real money. So, but in short, yes, Waynesboro, I mean, I'm starting to I show and I sell in Waynesboro and Augusta counties now. I mean, I live in Crozet.
You've expanded your market?
I have. I've shifted it. I do less in Madison and Northern and Greene counties and more in Waynesboro, Augusta.
That's because 29 sucks.
Yeah. Dave Phillips, the CEO of CAR, spoke to the Central Virginia Mortgage Professionals last week, and he gave us this perfect analogy about the marketplace. Our numbers from 07 were very similar to 04. But the difference between 05 and 06 and being down is that our market area has expanded without the representative sale numbers coming back. That is, Augusta is not included in our numbers right now, but it's a huge influx of people. And at CAR, at the Association of Realtors, their employees are coming in from Louisa and from Augusta and from Greene and Madison. So we're becoming a greater distance to our employment as a local economy.
Thanks to James from calling in for Lexington. Lexington's 95.9 here on WNRN. You can call in, too, from anywhere you'd like. You can hear us on the web, if you'd like. Just type in WNRN, and you can track us down. I would take a moment to thank 45fix.com for supporting us. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate, no obligation estimates are available anytime. That's 45fix.com, the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. I see the phone ringing again, so I'm going to jump back into one of these. I had a follow-up to that, but I'll wait and see if our caller plugs it. Matt Hodges, mortgage broker from Compass Home Loans. Jim talked about having to expand his area to sort of match the desires and the needs of his folks. What has the mortgage industry done? Because all we hear about the mortgage industry these days is how they are tightening everything because they can't afford to be so, it's not the proper word, but glib with who they loan money to and the variety of interesting ways that they do so.
I think that if you look at Jim's blog site this past week, he put up a great video. There's a loan officer, I think in Chicago, maybe, in Chicago that came up with this nice little video that showed the rings of people that were able to purchase houses maybe in 03 and 04 and 05, and it kept getting bigger until 05 when some of the loans started unperforming or non-performing, and the ring grew smaller. So, yeah, the lenders are making calls on who they will loan money to based on how well the loans perform. How does it affect us here locally? Well, as Jim indicated in the beginning of the show, is diversification, that perhaps I'm going to be a little bit better able to ride out this this wave, but in a lot of ways not, because my business is tied to what happens here in the local economy and the belief that people can do well in real estate. But that being said, yeah, we have a diversified business model. If you look at the front page of the Daily Progress today, you see one of our partners in a story about reverse mortgages. We're one of the local experts in reverse mortgages.
What's a reverse mortgage?
Reverse mortgage is essentially it is a, it's not a negative amortization loan, but it pays you back for the equity that you have in your house. If you're over 62, and you have significant equity, it can pay you. So you, you drain the equity over time versus paying
down
the equity. Is that
for, because you're, you know, otherwise you have minimal income?
Exactly. It's meant for people who have, perhaps limited income from Social Security or from pension, and the costs of owning the home keep going up over time because of improvements, because of taxes, what have you.
And the bank gets the house when you're done?
No, bank never gets the house. You are able to sell the house once you leave it, or your heirs if you were to pass away. You can never outlive the loan. It has a schedule through 100 years of age, but if you keep living past that, great, you can take whatever equity is available and past that amount.
So if you live to be 163, mm-hmm. you might have a problem.
No, you don't have a problem. Your heirs will never owe more than the house is worth once it's sold.
All right,
it's a nice product, but it's not for everybody.
Real estate here in the local market and the economy in 2008. Dial us up, ask your question, make your comment. Jim Duncan, realtor. Matt Hodges, mortgage broker. Matt, you mentioned the, I guess the conversation, the, with the CAAR leader, mm-hmm. right?
Right. Dave Phillips.
I'm curious, when I went on site and Jim, www.caar.com.
That's the CAAR's website, yeah.
Yeah. And there was a recent, something in the last couple of weeks, a lot of new information from 2007 was put up and posted.
Right.
One of the things that that was pointed out to me, slightly more than 2,900 homes sold in 2007. Now, if we even if we expand that to what I think that you gentlemen were talking about, because it says 2,900, it lists 3,500 homes or so, and says something about some homes sold out of this area, and we can give it the benefit of the doubt that those were the ones in Augusta County, et cetera, that you were mentioning.
Right.
But there's how many realtors? 1,200?
About 1,250, 1,300.
That's not a good ratio for making money. Even if 2007 was one of the best years, still it seems, that seems pretty harsh.
Well, I mean, I wrote a story about this a little while ago. If you look back at the previous years, and when I say sides, I'm talking about either a listing side or a buying transaction. In 2006, there were about 500 realtors had at least five sides. In 2007, 407 had at least five sides. And then last year, just under 200 had more than five sides. So there is a, you know, it, just like any economy, sort of like the dot-com, people rushed into it and are rushing out of it. And it's just simple market economics.
Basic, and I'm not asking you to give out your income, but basic, how many sides do you need to have to pay your bills? Does the average realtor who's saying, you know what, I'm going to get my license and that's, you know, that's what I'm going to do for the next 10 years. How many sides do you need to have to, you know, to
I'd say
average Charlottesville, Albemarle, Central Virginia income?
Unless you're in the consistently selling homes that are a million plus, and you look at the median price in the Charlottesville area. I think it's reasonable to say that you need to have at least 15, 20 sides every year to not just have the income to support it, because, you know, frankly, being self-employed is expensive, but also you need to have that level of consistent transactions, in my opinion, to know the intricacies and the vagaries of each real estate transaction, to have an idea as to what might happen. If you do one or two sides a year, you may not be aware of all the intricacies and the minutiae of you know, what might happen.
Matt, things that help and hurt the sales economy that have in the past and that are expected in 2008?
In terms of changes that are coming down from lenders?
Doesn't matter. Well, you have the lender viewpoint, so express that. Issues that have arisen in the past, what trends help and hurt the sales of real estate, the loans in the past And what are you expecting and hoping for in the coming year or years?
Sure. Well, I already indicated that the lending standards were very lax in the past. It allowed a lot of people to jump in as they saw an appreciating market. There's a lot of talk about bailout of those people, and I personally don't agree with what's being said at that level, though I am concerned that a whole mess of foreclosures could hurt the economy, push prices down even further. So there's got to be some balance of what we do from what happened in the past. You saw a lot of lenders that that were very aggressive in what they did. They had policies in place to tell their loan officers what products to sell. As amazing as that sounds, instead of consulting with the client to see what's best for them, they were told, sell this product. For example, a pay option arm starts off with a very low teaser, 1.25 interest rate. Sell this loan because it's profitable for our company. I think those days those days are gone. Days that you could get away with so much in the industry are gone. And as a lot of mortgage coaches have said, get good or get out. And I think that Jim would probably echo that with the realtors. Get good at what you do or get out of our industry because you bring down the whole industry. And so what do I see for this year? Well, continued tightening from Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. Right now what we're seeing is pricing based on credit rating. I wish this had been in place years ago. Essentially what it means is for somebody that has the best credit scores, you get the best interest rates. And then there's a sliding scale backwards. It's the way subprime has always worked. When your credit history, what you can prove for income is not there, well, you pay a higher interest rate. Now it applies in the prime world also. We see declining markets that are going to affect areas in Virginia. Right now, declining markets haven't hit central Virginia, but they're in Spotsylvania, relatively close. They're in Tidewater, relatively close, and they're up in D.C. Are they going to happen here? Well, so far, so good, because as Dave Phillips again from Carr would describe our area, we're on a Scooby-Doo roller coaster, not the Big Bad Wolf, where prices don't climb and fall as dramatically as in other places.
I like that one.
Oh, thank you. I stole that from him. I think you'll continue to see improvements, though, in the product lines for the people that are best equipped to buy houses. They'll still have the perks available to them. We're seeing a lot more in the last month, believe it or not, property inspection waivers. This may be a good or a bad thing for clients, but a property inspection waiver allows the client to waive the appraisal report so that one of the four components of underwriting is removed completely.
I don't like that.
Well, exactly. But Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae still say that's okay. And we're seeing more of that now for the best clients, for those who can fully document their income, their assets, et cetera. Some things that I'm concerned with this year is that the federal government is sticking their nose into the mortgage world significantly as a reaction versus being proactive. The same thing's going on in the state level, though we understand that most of the bills that are going to be coming out will get killed in committee because they're ridiculous. They're trying to underwrite mortgages from the floor of the General Assembly. They're trying to tell us what credit scores should be minimums for loans. That's a moving target. The credit bureaus can just decide to change the model of how they score things. So you do see a lot of reactive, and then we're having to reach out to our legislators to say, do you realize the unintended consequences of your actions here? I see a mixed bag. In general, though, I see a positive 08. Maybe it's not at 04's level. Maybe it's below that, but it's going to be a positive 08.
All right. That was Matt Hodges, mortgage broker from Compass Home Loans. Dial us up. It'll warm up your hand. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
This week, The Hook takes a look at West Main Street then and now. Folks will probably alternate between wincing and applauding at the changes. It finally snowed for our friends at Wintergreen, but how has this most unseasonable warm weather affected them? And there's an ad for a missing dog lost on Christmas Day. Take a look at page 65 of The Hook and see if you can help reconnect. The Hook, long-lasting and always fresh. And NRN wants to thank listeners like Sarah Landon, Ann Evans, and Robin Romer for contributing to the fund drive this past fall. It's because of them you have the wake-up call here every Sunday. It's also because of program underwriters like Gearhart's Chocolates. So stay tuned. Tell a friend about the name of this show. Spread it out there. Sunday morning wake-up call every Sunday at 11. And the next underwriting request for pledges will come up this spring. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports also here today. They're keeping you warm outside and on the way to work or class. Even on the trail, the Blue Ridge staff can recommend the hat, pair of gloves, or jacket that will let you enjoy the outdoors anytime. You'll find Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barrack Show Shopping Center in Charlottesville, the Mountain Inn at Wintergreen, or at BRMS.com. And there's a call coming in. We'll let Graham get that, put him through. And, Jim, I'll sort of dump that same question onto you that Matt had the pleasure of answering. Things that have helped and hurt the economy to take us till now, and then, you know, fears and hopes for the upcoming year.
Well, I think that the word fear is something that is going to be a key component. I think that fear plays a significant part in the psychology of buying and selling real estate. Matt slid me a note saying that we're 48th in foreclosures in the country. And I think that one thing that I have hopes about is that people are going to educate themselves and realize that we don't have a national real estate market.
Is the 48th, is that the state or the area?
The state.
Do we know what this area ranks in? Any different?
My goodness, it's got to be one of the lowest in the state in foreclosures.
Okay. Yeah.
We have very, very few.
So we're low in the state, and the state is very low nationally.
Well, in Loudoun County and Culpeper County, you're seeing significant foreclosures just because they had such an extraordinary run-up in construction. But I think that, you know, a positive thing from my standpoint, from an economics view, is that building permits are down. And I think that that's one of the key components to getting through the surplus that we have in inventory, is we need just to churn through what's out there, and not creating more inventory is a key part of that. So, I mean, I have hopes and expectations that we're going to work through that inventory through the first 2-3 quarters of this year. I think that, you know, from a market standpoint, also interest rates are very low. Yeah, but one thing that we're facing is that a lot of sellers are setting their prices based on what they need to make. And from a human level, that's, you know, I certainly understand that. But from what a ready, willing, able buyer is going to pay, they don't care. And purely market standpoint, if you are asking $200,000 for your house and the buyer thinks it's worth and the market says it's worth $150,000, even if you owe $200,000, it doesn't matter. And I think that that's an unknown to me right now as to what percentage of our market is using that as a market price. And it's, you know, that's where you really run into the dangers of the market, is how many people need to make X dollars but can't sell it. You know, there was one story I wrote a couple weeks ago about a seller who was more willing to just up and face foreclosure than he was to take out a loan to pay the $50,000 he would owe if he sold it for X price. And that's I don't know how widespread that is, but I'm seeing it more and more, and my buyers are seeing it more and more.
11:44 here on the wake up call. Real estate in our local economy, and where we're going with that in 2008. Matt Hodges from Compass Home Loans, Jim Duncan, Century 21 Manley Associates. Jim, you've mentioned a couple times now article you've written. What's your website?
I read a real estate blog in the area. It's realcentralva.com. And one thing also that I wrote a story, I think, Friday, talking about the inventory levels. If you look back at the first 17 days of the year, looking back to 2003, in January 1 to January 17 of 2003, 120 properties were put on the market in our area. and in 07, 109. So about the same. The big difference is that in 03, 195 were listed, and in 07, 351 were listed. So that's, you know, it's an unknown. You know, have we had that much growth in 4 years? Or are those people who, you know, their degree is, they finished their degree, they're ready to move on, they're finished with their residency, are they choosing to move or do they have to move? But either way, there's a lot more on the market now from which to choose. Again, which leads into, it really is, if it's right for you, it's a great time to buy a house. And I've had clients, I mean, not even focused on the fact that I depend on buying and selling real estate to make a living. Clients have told me that independently, that for the right price, and with the interest rates being where they are, it is a great time to buy.
All right, 979-0919. There's a call coming in. The other line is open, the toll-free, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. I got two questions or comments here from Graham patched through. Pope, you didn't want to go online. The first one appears to be from my mother driving through town. Appreciate the intelligent conversation and applauds both hosts and guests. Thank you.
I have to thank my wife or your mother.
Called that in. All right, we'll take the live call first. We got Mark from Charlottesville. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well.
Hey, Mark.
Question, comment, get started.
Yeah, Jim knows me. I'm a client of Jim's and Matt's as well, and I just wanted to ask a question. A lot of the homes that Jim and I have been to in the last, we've been looking about 6 months, I'd say probably 80% of them have been empty, as no one's living there. I was just curious what your thoughts were on what the cause of that is, because we haven't really talked about that. So I was just wanted to see what you thought of why all these homes are empty, and you know, what does that say about the local market?
All right, man, I'm going to hang up and let you listen.
Cool. Well, thanks, Mark. It's true. I mean, most of the houses that we've looked at seem to be vacant, and a lot of those are people who have tried to flip a house and chose the absolute wrong time to do that. A lot of them are people who have been relocated for jobs, and they have just moved on, and they're sitting there paying two mortgages. And something we're seeing a lot more of, and I'm not sure if you and I have looked at these yet, but it's becoming a more important component of our market, is the real estate-owned properties, where a relo company will work out a deal with their client and buy the house and add it to their inventory. And that's something that is becoming more and more prominent, and one of the negatives with that is that they don't seem, in many cases, willing to negotiate beyond below what they owe. And a lot of times what they owe is more than what the market will bear. So, again, that's becoming more and more. I see more of those every day.
Jim actually hit on most of the topics. The one I would add to that is the people who are buying before they sell. It was pretty popular over the last 2 years that you could qualify for your next house before having sold this one. And I think that a segment there are people that have already gone into their next house. And regarding Mark, I just want to applaud him for his patience, because he's been searching for property with Jim, and he hasn't gotten emotional about it. He's looked at this as a very clear, this is my investment, I'm going to get the house at the right price. And sellers should be listening to this. They should be pricing properly, or they should get it off the market.
You mentioned buying before selling. Is this something that has been made? Is this a choice that the average market has made? Or is this a change in methodology that's been forced on them because of mortgage issues and more paperwork to be done, or greater proof as to what you qualify for, or et cetera?
In terms of the buying before you sell, we see a lot less of it now because properties are not turning as quickly. So people are thinking about whether they should actually buy the next property. And lenders have cut back on what they will allow. It used to be, hey, you could get away with a listing agreement. We wouldn't have to count that debt against you in the in your debt ratio for your next house. That's sort of is going away, and it should have gone away. So some of it's from the lending side is you're losing some of those programs.
And you also look at the fact that I think I noted this the other day. There are several hundred homes in our market that have been on the market for more than a year. And, you know, a lot of those are people put it on the market, expect to sell within 6 months, and then they have to move. And so then they're faced with the choice. Do they cancel that job transfer, or do they put the house in the market or keep the house in the market and move? And again, I refer back to Mark. Mark moved here, sold his home elsewhere, and chose to rent. And that's made it, you know, from my standpoint, a much more comfortable experience where he's been able to rent and not have the stress and the pressure of, oh, dear God, I've got to get my family in a house in 3 days. And it's, I think that that's a change that we've seen that, frankly, makes for a better real estate market, because there's not the impending doom of, oh, God, I'm going to have to rent.
All right, we got Gary from Albemarle County. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Rick. Good morning. I haven't heard the whole program this morning, so I apologize for
what?
That. I did want to ask your guests, though, do they see any scenarios in which the federal government should step in and help people who got caught in mortgages that, frankly, they were irresponsible on? As a taxpayer, I don't feel like it's my duty to help anybody out that way from a government taxpayer standpoint. I'd like to hear their comments on that, and I'll just hang up and listen.
All right. Thanks, Gary.
Gary, was that just a softball that you lobbed up to me? I absolutely do not want to see the government bailing out people who made bad decisions or investors that went after multiple properties. I am concerned with the individual and pockets, so that we don't have declining markets that would come to Charlottesville, which we do not have right now. I'm concerned with individual cases of fraud, et cetera. But in general, I let the marketplace do its job. Let's keep government out of legislating what we can and cannot do.
I agree. I mean, I tend to be more libertarian in my politics, and I think that those who chose to get whatever kind of risky loan or what have you, it's sort of the you know, you made your bed, you need to lie in it. And again, that's from an economic standpoint. I'm not looking at it from a human personal level, but from an economic standpoint, I don't think that we should all suffer based on the poor decisions of some or many. You look at, you know, I think Hillary Clinton's new thing is, you know, put a moratorium on foreclosures for 90 days. I'm not really sure how much good that would do other than delaying the inevitable for at least 90 days.
All right, you can call up and ask your question, softball or hard pitch, whatever you want. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks. Take a moment to thank Blue Ridge Graphics for supporting us today. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom T-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. And not that you would, but don't go anywhere, because in a few moments, Les Temps Perdue with Drew Thompson will be here. The best of 80s and 90s alternative, no Foreigner, Debbie Gibson, or Journey, but you will hear Howard Jones, No Doubt, and live. And request, always welcome. Les Temps Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. All right, caller, hang on for just a second. Gene, hang on, because I have, this call was handed to me, a non-live call, but I've set it aside for the last couple. Beth from Louisa. Son considering buying in North Garden and paying cash for a fixer-upper. Is it a good time?
It depends. I mean, it's hard to answer that. You know, it's actually, I would say, impossible. I think that right in that, so I'll approach it more generally. If you're paying cash in this market, I think cash carries much, much more weight than it used to. And if you get it at the right price and you are able to either contract out or do the work yourself, and one, make, you know, if you're doing it to live in, make the improvements that are going to make you happy and are going to add value to your, you know, to your Monday mornings. If you're doing it from a flip standpoint, make sure that you are going to be able to get it at the right price and be able to, you know, possibly carry it for some time.
And from a lender's perspective, if it's a true fixer-upper and the Beth's son is doing the work and he's not likely a Class A contractor, I can't finance it. So it's a good thing that he's paying cash for it.
All right. About 6 minutes left. I got a call on air online from Gene in Charlottesville. Hey, Gene.
Hey, Rick. How are you?
It's a good day. It's cold, but it's good.
Yes, it is chilly. Well, I apologize. I haven't listened the whole time either, but I want to throw out, don't the builders have some responsibility for this glut of real estate? Because it seems that a lot of the inventory that's sitting around is very expensive inventory. And shouldn't they have built more affordable housing that more people could have purchased and gotten into the market? And I'll just throw that one on the table.
All right, Gene. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks, Gene. I hear what you're saying, and I hear it frequently. But I'll go back. You know, I think the builders built what people were buying. And if the people had not been paying X dollar for those houses, then they wouldn't have built them. Do they share responsibility? Well, I mean, I think that the builders also employ a lot of people, and it's hard for them to slow that machine down that they have. So, again, it's, you know, you look at some of the bigger builders who came in and just put up as many homes as possible. And, you know, from a perspective of somebody who lives here, I hear what you're saying. But from an economic standpoint and real estate standpoint, I don't think the builders really share that responsibility. If they, if people wouldn't pay $400,000 for the house, they wouldn't have built a $400,000 house.
Yeah, we really only have one large builder here, a national builder in our area. Mostly, if you look up in Northern Virginia, you see all of the big names. And that's where you have a bigger problem, because those lenders, those builders also have in-house lending arms, and they will get somebody into a house regardless of what they can qualify for, subprime or otherwise. That's why you're seeing some of the other issues other than Northern Virginia that we don't see here locally.
All right, you are listening to WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. I got one of my favorites. I got the instant message question. It's always a challenge for me because I have to sort of do my stretch to read this out. Someone in Harrisonburg says that Harrisonburg has an interesting real estate market. The property seems way overpriced. And do you guys think that Harrisonburg is moving towards a buyer's market? Should we wait on a property that we like because they think they're about $30,000 overpriced?
It's really fun watching Rick wobble back and forth between the IM and the microphone.
It's not exactly the best suited for me.
About Harrisonburg, I have no idea. I know several realtors there who could definitely help you out, but I'll go from a more general standpoint.
Well, the last line that came up was that it's about $40,000 over the assessed price.
Okay, that's easy. Assessment has very little to do with market value, and we're seeing that in Albemarle County right now and in the city. And it's assessed value has, in my opinion, I wrote this story last week, has always been irrelevant with regards to market value, because assessment's always looking back and market value is looking at today moving forward. So it's, again, I don't use the assessed value for anything that my buyers are doing other than what they pay taxes on.
Yeah, your Harrisonburg IMer should listen to their realtor very carefully about what the price should sell at.
Yeah, I mean, and again, if you look at the comps and you have a realtor and they help you look at the solds, and I look at the active and under contract comps more than anything else nowadays. I look at those and help determine it. And if it's more than you're willing to pay, you know, for you, it's overpriced.
I realize that just a minute or two left here. By the way, folks, next week we're going to be doing a show on wellness and nutrition. I'm going to try and get someone in here from the school system, as well as I already have a university and a private practice nutritionist. And for those of you who didn't listen to the whole show, www.seavillepodcast.com. It seems to me that the only affordable housing, and I realize that the conversation has been about how it's a buyer's market now and will probably be a buyer's market for 2008. I have a reasonable job. I fall into that, you know, very minuscule mid-range of folks in here in Charlottesville. I don't make $7 an hour and I don't make $100,000 a year. I can buy one of those old apartments that's now called a condo. That's about it for me. Is that really the where the affordable housing market is in Charlottesville now?
I think, you know, if you look at the numbers of properties on the market now, I'm trying to pull it up as we speak.
Talk into your microphone.
Sorry about that. I'm wobbling myself. There are several hundred properties on the market right now under $200,000. We haven't seen that in quite some time. Somebody asked me the other day how many were out there under $200,000 3 years ago, and I jokingly said like four. There are a lot of opportunities, and I think that number in the story I wrote excluded condos. So it's an individual decision on what you can buy. But again, there are a lot of buying opportunities out there.
All right, gentlemen, thank you so much.
You're
welcome. I appreciate it. Jim Duncan.
Enjoyed it.
Century 21, Manley Associates, Matt Hodges, Compass Home Loans. www.seavillepodcast.com. You should be able to find a link once we post it, a link to Jim's blog.
RealCentralVA.com.
You can see Matt's pretty picture, and when you go to Compass on Wounds as well. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Rick.
Try not to get blown away on your drive home.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this...